And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I am the White Ranger, Michael, being joined by your Black Ranger, Mr. Ben Taylor.
What up, everyone? It's me, Ben. I am the life and soul of the party. I say party, but what I really mean is awake.
Well, it's good to be awake.
No, like awake for like dead people.
Oh. I thought you meant awake. Like, hi, I'm awake. It's like, no, oh.
Dude, that's an accomplishment right now. Let's put it that way.
Anyways, this is my first episode hosting this season.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I mean, well, I came back last episode. You guys kind of...
No, welcome back to hosting.
Yeah. I mean, thanks. I mean, last episode, you kind of forced Sasha and I to do Dreaming of a White Ranger. Like,
well, I wasn't going to do it. You really want me and Tommy and a Christmas episode?
You still forced the two Jews to do the Christmas episode. I mean, come on.
It had a Hanukkah song.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So, but anyways, I am back. We are doing a Ranger Catastrophe, which is probably a perfect title for me coming
perfect.
Back.
Perfect, get it?
It really is, I mean.
Perfect, like cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you know what? With that in mind, everyone, it's everyone's favorite segment in my mind.
Mike. What? That segment's dead, dude. The other Rangers and I told him just nah.
I must have missed that memo.
Yeah, you missed that meeting because you went on vacation.
Ah, yes. It was a needed vacation, though. Let's be honest.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't.
But you mean, up until that meeting. Point when I got on my vacation, I'd been on every single episode at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, right.
But, all right. So,
Ranger Catastrophe Part 1 and 2. Yeah. But we're going to address them separately, right?
Let's address them separately. Let's right. Knock one out, then knock out the other.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be honest, by the time we're done knocking things out, we may want to knock ourselves out.
Yeah. Though Ranger Catastrophe is the biggest offender this season.
That or the fact that Adam is like so grossly misused this season.
He's barely used this season, and I hate it.
It's heartbreaking. It really is.
So Ranger Catastrophe Part 1, a.k.a. because I'm not doing the AKAs when I'm hosting episodes. I'm only doing them when I'm the co-host. So, AKA, Cats in Cars.
I love Cats in Cars. They just won't stop meowing.
Meow, meow, meow.
At least you didn't start singing the Meow Mix song.
Meow, 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 meow. Yo, I know you can hear me, boy.
We start at a shelter, and I think this is kind of a key thing that we should really bring up because it's one thing that does come back later, and it's something that we kind of made fun of, you know, in the last season when Aisha was introduced, because like Aisha wanted to be the fire marshal. She got to be the fire marshal, and like then after that she was just kind of gone. But this one we do actually begin at an animal shelter where Aisha is volunteering, and they find a cat while walking home.
Yeah, it's also worth noting, because this doesn't come up a lot. Ranger Catastrophe is the start of Kim's departure arc, right? It's like a 10-episode arc, I believe. I can't remember off the top of my head. But one of the things that isn't discussed enough is after they introduce the animal shelter is often used as an excuse to keep Aisha off screen. Like, more than once for the rest of the season, you'll hear the Zordon be like, oh, Aisha is at the animal sanctuary. I will contact her. Rangers, you must go help the cat or whatever.
And it's a smart move, in a way, when you think about it. Because at this point, there was really nothing to Aisha at this point. So this, you know, like you said, it's the beginning of the Kim arc. But it's also the beginning, really, also of Aisha's arc, because of what we learn later on in the season.
The Alien Ranger saga, yeah.
Yeah, so it actually works. And it almost feels like, in a way, that was the plan.
Yeah. And I feel we need to bring this up now. The four of us have been very critical, myself especially, of Power Rangers not having a whole lot of forethought to their stories. Like, seasons one and two were awful for not forward planning, right? Season three is rife with forward planning. It's like it's being written by a completely different creative team.
Yeah.
Right? And it's right about now, I think, they're starting to get the plan in their brain for Zeo, and they're starting to plan how they're going to, like, switch to Zeo, right? So they need, and they're like, oh, well, what we'll do with Aisha is blah, 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 blah. So they've really started ramping up her animal care and that aspect of her character.
Yeah. And it's also, like, in the same vein, you know, the deal with Kim.
Yeah.
With how, and this also is the way we get introduced to Kat, which actually helps accelerate that story and really build that arc. Which is a good thing, and until they start forcing relationships that don't need to be forced.
Don't get me started.
Oh, we're going to have fun with that in Zeo.
So, peek behind the curtain for everyone who's listening. Right now, I've been in the middle of writing my Dino Thunder column for about 8 months. And the biggest stumbling block is deciding what I want to do talking about Tommy's love life. Just putting that out there.
That's so great. So because of this cat that they find, Rita boasts about her plan, you know? And so as a result, you know, because, you know, I guess there's a rule in Angel Grove where if you find a stray cat or dog, you have to take it to the shelter and you have to wait for like 24 hours before.
Only 24 hours, mind.
Yeah.
And not even 24 hours. One business day, which could be like 8 hours. Yeah. Or if you find the cat at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 2 hours. Yeah. Right? It's like, that's no time at all.
Yeah. But one of the funny things about this is that you have Rito guarding the animal shelter to prevent anybody from going to this shelter.
Yeah. I will point out that when Rita's coming up with the plan, Lord Zedd says, what about these dimwits? And Rito goes, you called? Rito answering to the name dimwit is comedy gold. I love Rito. I'm going to say it every time I'm in one of these recordings. I'm going to say it every opportunity I get. Rito is the single best thing outside of Adam Park about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I like how
you put three seasons.
I like how you put in that note that, like, outside of Adam Park,
who is the greatest ranger of all time.
By the way, did you do a timing on when Adam appeared?
No, that was my bit for last season.
Okay. I don't know these things. I just kind of came back, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Although Rito actually is pretty successful at guarding the animal shelter until the Rangers show up to fight him in the tangos.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny. Because you have the cat just staring out the window going like, ooh, look at this fun stuff going on outside. I'm just going to watch it. Give that cat a mojito. It'll just be, you know, kicking back, relax, and watching a fight. But, and then.
Another thing I want to point out is right before the Tengas and Rito start kicking out. The vet turns around to Aisha and is like, hey, Aisha, can you get me some pet vitamins as opposed to any other kind of vitamins or vitamins or however you want to say it?
It's vitamins. You got it. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
There's no such thing as pet vitamins. It's the same vitamins we would have. That's not how biology works.
Ah, I see you have brought back a season one throwback there.
I was doing it last season as well.
But But one of the interesting things that does happen is while this fight is happening, is a new girl does show up looking for a puppy. And we don't know who the girl is. And then when Aisha and Kim come back, she disappears.
Well, we see her morph from the cat.
Yeah.
Because she's like, the cat's like sitting at the window and it like does that incredibly 90s CG morph into cat.
Animorphs.
Yeah. See, the cat with a C becomes cat with a K.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, is that like the point that I was getting at is that the kennel tech doesn't know this.
Yes.
That's the point I'm making. And then, of course, we don't see Kat go back into being the cat again. Say that one three times fast.
We don't see Kat becoming a cat again.
But anyways, but the cat comes back
in the very next form. Day, the cat came.
Oh, we got a great episode, don't we?
The other thing I want to say about the fight with Rito and the Tengas, and I will probably say this every time it happens, or at least I'm going to try and say it every time it happens, the Ninja Ranger forms are my favorite Ranger side of things in season 3. I just think they're so much more interesting than the actual Ranger form, because they have like powers like teleporting and merging with trees and duplication of themselves. And like there's one where they can run across water, and it just like there's a moment in this where Aisha's about to get jumped on and she just merges with the floor. Right? Why would you ever morph into your Ranger outfit? Like, you can't do those things in your Ranger outfit.
Yeah. And this is also a bit of foreshadowing here. Like, this one particular scene is that when you see Aisha and Kim come to the vet tech to officially adopt the cat, the cat attacks Kim.
Yeah,
it actually attacks Kim, and then Aisha still adopts the cat. If the cat attacked me, I'd be like, the hell with you. You just attacked me. I don't think we can be friends now. Mm-hmm. But
Well, they say something like, oh, she must be hungry or something like
that. Yeah, probably. And one of the interesting...
Showing that Aisha has an excellent understanding of animals and absolutely should be working in an animal shelter.
Yeah. But then they go home, they do studying, the cat's just there, like, chilling on the couch. And then I guess...
Another thing about the vet tech that I want to bring up for a minute. When she's talking to Kat, not knowing who she is, the vet tech's all like, oh, you must be new to this country. And Kat's like, what? And she's like, your accent, it's so good. And I'm like, I've lived here since 2003 and I've still got my smeggin' accent. Why does having an accent make you new to the country? It's just casual 90s shorthand. Yeah, oh well.
But I like when they're like, they're studying and I guess they go looking at something. And the cat just strolls out the front door.
Because they go looking for the cat and they're like, oh no, the windows are open. And then the cat just walks out of the front door like.
Cat's just like, I'm just rolling, you know? I'm out. Doors open, I'm chilling. Deuces. And then obviously the cat transforms into the new girl and Rita appears.
Speaking of that transformation. The slow motion transformation and reveal of Kat, where she does like the slow motion hair flip and looks into the camera all smoldering and evil, is probably the most sexualized we've seen anything in Power Rangers up to this point.
Yeah. And then this also becomes, I believe, the second time we actually see a Rita on Earth.
I didn't.
First time was back in season 1.
Yeah.
Like the first time and the only time was in season 1. So this is like the second time we actually see Rita on Earth. And she gets info from the new girl and she turns a dumpster into a nice car.
That has the license plate perfect with 4 R's. P-U-R-R-R-F-E-C-T. It's like Rita's trying to give her plan away.
Or she just, you know, wants her to become Catwoman.
Yeah. Because that movie was good.
Well, we could talk about Batman Returns, Catwoman.
That's true.
Yeah.
She didn't have a car with perfect written on the front.
But then we go back to Ernie's. Tommy is waiting for Kim. Obviously, Kim is still helping Aisha trying to find the cat. And the new girl approaches
Ernie Tommy. Ernie waits specifically until Tommy asks if he's seen Kim to say, oh, by the way, she just called and she's helping Aisha find her cat. Because he stood right next to Tommy, right? You'd think, anyway, oh, by the way, Tommy, Kimberly called and she's going to be late, right?
Even better. Hey, Tommy, here's Kim.
Yeah.
Hand the phone over. Just
give him the phone.
It's not that hard. I've done that. Like, I think there was a time when somebody called my phone for you and I just handed the phone over to you. And it's like, here, they want to talk to you. But anyways, after that, the new girl approaches Tommy with a sob story about the car breaking down. And it's like, yo, what did you expect? It's a dumpster.
Yeah.
You know
how we're always making fun of like Turbo and how Tommy goes to become like a race car guy?
Yeah.
Turns out he doesn't know how to fix an engine.
Yeah.
There was some foreshadowing.
Yeah.
For one episode.
We then end up learning that the cat's name is Catherine with a K. And man, is she manipulative. Oh boy, what did she really manipulate Tommy on this one?
Yeah, and with some very, very good acting, he said, lying.
And Tommy fixes the car. She cons him into going on a car ride with him.
And which she says, because he doesn't want to leave in case like Kim comes here. And she's like, oh, we can just take it round the block. But when Zed zaps the car, they're in the mountains.
Yeah, that's not around the block.
It's not around the block.
But as you just said, Zed zaps him, sends him into a vortex. And that's actually how episode one or part one ends.
Also, if Zed can just randomly zap things into other dimensions whenever he wants, why is that not plan A every time they fight the Power Rangers? Just zap like three of them into separate dimensions.
And like not one dimension where they can talk to each other, but
actually three individual separate dimensions.
So, but yeah, no.
And there's this moment where like they're driving through the dimension and Kat's like, oh, Tommy, I'm so scared. And hugs him on the arm. He's like, oh my, that's our new Pink Ranger. Oh, this is going to suck. She makes Rocky look like he deserves an Oscar.
It gets better.
And that's when we get our to be.
At least she has more. At least she gets more development than Rocky.
That's true.
I mean, crap, Aisha got more development this season than Rocky.
Yeah. But he does like to have fun.
Yes. He definitely loves to have fun. And you know what's funny? Adam Park still has more development to him, and he was barely used this season.
So that's when we get our to be continued, right?
Yeah, that's where we get our to be continued.
Cool. So on to part two, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So Ranger Catastrophe Part 2, a.k.a. A Lot of Lasts.
Yep. And we kind of pick up where we left off. We see Tommy in the vortex. However, the Rangers, they try to actually page him. But they lost signal to Tommy's status. And Rita is pleased. And we get another Goldar.
Also, side note, apparently Kat can teleport.
I mean, when you're evil, you tend to have those kind of cool powers in an evil vortex, I guess.
Yeah, probably. Anyway.
I mean, which would you prefer to do? To just teleport out of an evil vortex or just stroll out the door like casually deuces?
I'd walk out the door and go deuces.
Okay, fair enough. It's a little bit more badass, let's be honest with that one. But we do end up getting Goldar versus Tommy round number 100.
Speaking of which, Goldar shows up in that dimension while Tommy is in a car, strapped into a car by a seatbelt, and unconscious. And instead of just stabbing him in the head, decides to monologue.
Yeah, and not only that, but like by the time Tommy wakes up, he could easily floor it and just run over Goldar.
No, because the card disappears.
Oh. Well, then, yeah, he should have just stabbed him in the heart. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you had the moment to shank him. You should have just shanked him right there. But but instead, we get Goldar versus Tommy round 100.
Yep. And then we have our first morph of three morphs in this episode. They morph three times in this episode alone.
I think it's two times.
Pretty sure.
No, it's three times. It is three times. Because the first time is because the others have to confront a giant Rito.
Yep.
So they had to do a Ninja Megazord battle for the win on there. Then you have a Tommy morph when demanding for Cat when he's battling Goldar. And then Billy and Adam are attacked by a cat monster, which they then morph into action, and then the others come to help.
Yeah.
So there are three morphing
sequences.
Yeah. I mean, we got to see Adam morph and do something.
Yeah, I guess. And it is worth noting, of those morphing sequences, they are Kimberly's last morphing sequences. She doesn't morph again because she gets her power coin taken away.
That's right. Yeah. That's like the next episode, I believe. Yeah.
Which is partially why they go find the Shogun Zords.
Yep. Because we don't have Kim.
Yeah. So they can't form the Ninja Megazord.
But yeah, so like I kind of threw it out there already. The others battle Giant Rito and the Ninja Megazord. Tommy morphs and battles Goldar again. Billy and Adam are in the lat.
The other thing that I want to note about the Ninja Megazord fight. One, it's the last time Kim solo pilots a Zord. And two, it is really nice to see the Ninja Megazords in like one of their final outings fight separately. They all do something.
Now,
separately, except the Wolf Sword, he's just left out.
Poor Billy.
Yeah,
but also, if I remember this,
it's also the last appearance of those five main Ninja Megazords until Master Violin the Metallic Armor.
Yeah, and also, I believe this may also be the last episode where Kim actually is the one to lead to its morphin time.
I can't remember.
Yeah, because I know she gets one last its morphin time, like in front of the group.
Yeah.
So it could be this episode. I don't remember.
It might be.
I didn't write that down because I wasn't actually thinking about that.
She doesn't morph in Follow That Cab. And then she doesn't morph in Different Shade of Pink. It might be, yeah.
Yeah. So this might have been the episode where she got to do her last It's Morphin Time. And it might have actually been the first morph sequence when they went to go battle Rito. That would probably make a lot of sense because the other two morphing sequences was A, just Tommy, and then B, Billy and Adam. Mm-hmm. You know, because then the others come in and kind of just join. So we don't see them morph. So yeah, that actually would make a lot of sense. Yeah, they definitely do a lot of foreshadowing in this two-parter. One of the interesting things is that they do have Billy and Adam working in Billy's lab, which is actually why they get attacked, why they actually get zeroed in on.
The question is, why are they walking to the lab? They have site-to-site teleportation.
Maybe Billy's parents were home.
Just teleport into the room.
That's true.
Or just outside the house.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, they morph into action because they got attacked by the cat monster. The others come to help. And then the others take on the cat monster while Billy and Adam just go back to work in Billy's lab.
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers,
they want to find a way to reestablish contact.
Yeah.
With the viewing globe, don't they?
Well, it's getting to the it was actually no, they had already reestablished the connection in the viewing globe to see where he was. Oh. It was reestablishing the connection to get into the dimension. So they brought back from, I believe it was,
because there's
was,
this moment when they actually reestablish the viewing globe, right? And Tommy's fighting Goldar. And Kim's like, oh no, Goldar. And I'm like, why are you saying that? Literally every time Tommy fights him, he hands him his butt. Right? Like, why is that an oh no? Right? Like,
or maybe it's just an ironic oh no. It's like, oh no,
it's not.
Goldar.
It's not. Her tone of voice is definitely panicked.
Oh, I know, but like, but still, for us, it's just, oh no, Goldar.
Yeah.
Tommy's beating him up again. but no, what Billy and Adam are actually working on is the device, I believe, from either season one or season two. That actually, I think it was season two when they sent Jason to the dark dimension to go save Tommy in the Green Candle stuff.
No.
It was either that,
because that was like a big setup that he had to go through. This was just like a little circuit board that Billy plugged into the console.
Well, no, this was something that they were using to try to get Tommy out.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the thing that they used to send Tommy to the dark, Jason to the dark dimension in season two, was like big poles that they had to set up.
No, you know what I'm thinking of? The big poles do come back, but they come back in a later episode.
Yeah, they do.
That's what it is. I'm thinking about that thing.
But the thing that they make in this episode is like a little circuit board that he connects into the control board.
Yeah, that's right. And then that's how they get Tommy back. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Yep. And then the Rangers take on the cat monster again, this time as a team. Ninja Megazord for the win. And like,
also, how does cat being a monster never come up again?
Now before you do that, I have to throw one critical thing into this. What the hell, Ninjor? Where the hell did you come from? Who asked you to be part of this party?
They didn't even summon him.
You're just like, Ninja here. And I'm like, who? What? Where did you come from? Go home. We got this.
During the fight between Rito, Tommy, and Goldar, we get our last instance of Saba speaking.
Although Saba hadn't been doing a lot of speaking up to that point anyway.
No, he speaks like three times in this entire season.
Yeah, but even in season two, he didn't talk a lot near the end either. Like, that's kind of my point. It's like, Saba, like, was very critical in the beginning episodes of the White Ranger, and then after a while, the talking didn't really happen all that often after that.
Yeah.
But,
also, side note, apparently, holding hands helps people teleport. Who knew?
You want to try that next time?
No.
Okay.
Done with teleporting for now till Brian fixes it.
Okay. Fair. You know what? That's fair.
I'm not having another psychotic version of one of my friends show up and kidnap me and tie me to a chair.
Although it was kind of kinky, maybe a little bit. I mean, you probably
No. We don't think that way about Sasha. No, that's a bad bad boy. That is our friend you are talking about there. That friend who I'm almost old enough to be her dad, literally.
So yeah, and then the rest
one
of the
thing team- I have done in this episode, in this season, is do my best to try and track Zord usage. Right?
Yeah.
Because one of the things I have found regularly is when you're talking to someone who started watching Power Rangers when it first came out, one of the things that they regularly refer to as one of the things that caught their attention were the Zord fights. Right?
Yeah.
So, point of order, the ninja zords in this, the final fight with the cat monster, was somewhat at 16 minutes and 6 seconds into the episode. The Megazord forming sequence ends at 16 minutes and 39 minutes into the episode.
You mean 39 seconds?
That's what I said. 16
minutes. You said minutes after the
whatever. And then, you know, when we talked about stuff you really didn't need to correct extending time on episodes, that's one of those things.
oh, the building of the swords.
Yeah. The whole Zord fight as a whole in the Zords finishes at 17 minutes and 50 seconds. So, also, once they have formed the Megazord, Ninjor does all of the actual fighting except the finishing move.
So he was the starting pitcher and the Megazord was the closer.
They came in from the bullpen. but yeah, there is literally only 2 minutes of Zord footage in this final fight, plus the little bit that we got earlier when they were popping Rito in the brain, which was literally like them forming the Megazord and then doing the finishing move. Like, there was no fight. Because what fight there was in this episode was against Rito, was recycled from Ninja Quest. It's the exact same fight.
Yep.
It's the exact same footage. Anyway.
Hooray, reusage of footage. Really, now at that point, the rest of the team meet Kat, and they find PC, which is short for Park Cat.
Yeah, because they found her in a park. Original naming. But there's a moment before Kat runs off to transform where Kim's like, oh, she's really sweet. And I'm like, did Kim not see her like undressing her boyfriend with her eyes and like blatantly hitting on him? Is Kim stupid?
Kim's just tired.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
I mean, she's got a lot going on.
Yeah, she's got some stuff going on. Because we didn't talk about the whole gymnastics coach. But wait, that's in
that's Darker Follow Shades Car. Of Pink.
Yeah. No, it starts to Follow That Car.
That's what's coming up. But she still is technically doing gymnastics, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's Ranger Catastrophe.
Another note about part two is no Bulk and Skull, which was kind of sad.
Yeah. Especially with how much they actually kind of built up Skull a little bit in Potion Notion.
Yeah.
Like, they really built up Skull nicely as an individual character outside of Bulk. So it is a little disappointing on that end.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
So, but yeah.
They also can't decide on like the gender of the cat. Because sometimes like Aisha and Kimmy are like, oh, she's so cute. And other times Tommy's like, what a great cat he is. And it's like, what? I don't know. It just, it is a very good start to Kim's departure seat arc.
Yeah, I mean, it does a good job introducing Kat.
Yeah.
It does a good job of introducing an arc also for Aisha.
I could have done without the slow motion transformation of Kat. Like, she's filming a shampoo commercial under a waterfall.
But it, at the same time, what it also does is that it really, it kind of sets the tone for what to expect moving forward, which is kind of a nice pace because we really haven't had anything like that since. Yeah. Like, I know you say that, like, in, you know, season one and season two, there wasn't really any more
wasn't a whole lot of forward planning. Yeah.
but at least, but like you did get some, like when they did Green with Evil, you had a nice 5-episode arc that
That wasn't forward planning. That was one set of 5 episodes. What I'm saying is there's stuff set up in Reigns of Catastrophe that pays off in the arc leading into Zeo, like Aisha's interest in the
animals.
In the animals. There's a moment in Follow That Cab, which you'll hear myself and Sasha talk about in like 2 episodes, where Kat can hear Rita because she's still got some lingering effects of the magic spell on her, right?
Yeah.
So she, or is that Rita's Peter?
I think that's Rita's
Peter. I think that's Peter. Rita's Peter.
Yeah.
Which you'll hear.
Which is what
Mike and I talk about in like 4 episodes. And then like the bickering that's starting up between Zed and Rita is increasing in ferocity, so that when Master Vile shows up in Master Vile and the metallic armor, like that all coalesce, yeah, the glitter armor, all coalesces back to them working as a team, right? And then it's just a much better... there's a lot of stuff that is set up in this episode that pays off multiple episodes down the line in different storylines, as opposed to something like Green with Evil, which everything pays off within its own arc. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Which is what I was critical of in the future. But
yeah. So, but yeah. But overall, that was Ranger Catastrophe Part 1 and 2.
Yep.
What a way to come back to hosting by having that catastrophe.
Okay. Catastrophe. Yeah.
Yes. Catastrophe.
Yeah. Heart apostrophe. What?
But so yeah. So Mr. Ben, the Black Ranger.
The life and soul of the party. By a party, I mean a wake.
Pat on shoulder. where can the people find you on the social media?
You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
And you can find me over on twitch.tv doing the old video game thing at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Where you'll find myself, my good friend. And friend of the show, and secretly the narrator in the recorded intros, our good friend Jordan Johnson, and my wife, all doing video game stuff of various types. And you can find this show, Voices from the Grid, on Twitter at
@VFTG_PR.
And on the website at
txhchockey.com/VFTG,
where you can also find the wrestling podcast that Mike and I do with our friends. And it's basically just an excuse for us to sit down and watch wrestling with our friends for a few hours every month, called
Awesome Mania,
over at
the website /Awesome Mania.
Yeah. And I'm not going to give you the link to my
Page.
I'm not going to give you the link to my columns because I've still not finished the Dino Charge one, Dino Thunder.
And not only that, but it's also linked on the VFTG page. That's everything is there.
That's it.
And
Mike, where can people find you?
Y'all can find me on the Twitters at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. On the website txhthockey.com for everything that I do, including Awesome Mania, Voices from the Grid, Nerdy Notions, and Crying in the Fetal Position. I mean, that's probably what I'm doing in behind the scenes.
What you mean doing all the writing for the hockey side of the show?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing in the that's what you don't see ever on the website is the Crying in the Fetal Position. And then, of course, you can
have to hear it all in our group chat.
Yeah. I got some days sometimes, man. I got some days. But and then of course you can find me on Twitch as well at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. Doing the gaming thing And maybe even depending on when this episode airs, I might also be doing convention coverage live on Twitch other.
I know that there is
life content.
Depending on when this airs, there is definitely some convention coverage in the future of 321 TV.
Yeah.
I will put that out in the ether.
Yeah. I know my awesome con stuff was pretty well received. There's a couple things I had to learn because apparently when I was doing my interviews, like the first like 10, 15 seconds were actually cut off because of the network connections and stuff. So now I know it's like, all right, let it go for like 30 seconds, then start, talking. But, by this time also you'll see content from DerpyCon, potentially stuff that, there may be some on my channel at the same time as 321 as well.
Because we're hopefully going to be returning to Wilkes Comic Con in 2022 and covering their summer show, which will be an all day stream. It won't be like cherry picked. It will be a full day's content.
That will literally be like a, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. type stream. For 3 days. Yeah. And then whereas mine will be like a cherry pick. Like if I walk away and then I can like kind of show the floor and
What we'll probably do is be like, oh, Mike's gone live over on his channel. If you guys want to see something more close up on the floor.
Yeah. And not only that, but like any panels that we do would probably end up on there as well too. So it's like the two channels work together. It's just how
we almost like we planned it that way.
I know.
Let's conclude the episode.
Yes.
We still got one more to record.
I know. People like pulling back the curtain. We recorded multiple episodes in one night, but
and they're out of order.
Yes. But so with that, we've done our social medias. You know where to find us.
It has been great having you back as a host, Mike, even though your favorite segment in your mind has been
dead.
It has been power exchanged, shall we say.
No wonder you're the life of the party at a wake. You had to kill my segment.
But as always, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, in the words of the 16th president of these United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until the next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Peace!